Welcome to the Trades Podcast, a podcast about the business of home improvement and promoting the trades to young adults.
All right, cool. Right here, ladies and gentlemen, everybody, we are the Trades Podcast, and we are recording at the Ignite BBB Podcast Studios. My name is Danny.
And I'm Jeff Mudd.
And we are not only recording in the podcast studios in San Diego, but we do have our awesome guests that are out there in the wonderful Midwest, as he mentioned, Ohio. We got Bart and we have Matt. How are we doing?
Great. Thank you, Danny. It's great to be out here in the Buckeye country. And one other side note, Division III football national champions, like 13 out of the last 20 years. So something, just a side note.
Of course.
For the thriving metropolis of Alliance, Ohio. So,
that's right.
Anyway, it's great to be on with you, Danny and Jim. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have Matt right next to you. Matt, how you doing?
Great. I'm doing very well. Thank you guys for having us on the podcast. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Looking forward to learning a little bit more about what you guys are doing and what the opportunities are for some young contractors getting into the decking industry.
Yeah.
2007, we invented stone decks. And we've been, it's been exciting to be in the marketplace. We got nearly 2 million square feet in the marketplace now. You put the stone deck system on any elevated deck, dock, bridge, balcony, gazebo. So anytime you want to add the value of stone to your home, stone deck systems can be an answer for you.
That work for commercial properties as well?
Yes, rooftops application actually is a growing field for us right now. We initially went after the residential market, but primarily the commercial market has been taken off the last few years.
Yeah, cool. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So you want to give us some background on how you invented that and what the process is to do some installations?
Yeah, the stone deck system was invented. A friend of mine's a contractor. And he called me up one day and he says, hey, let's go for a ride. And my background, I'm a machinist by trade and fairly creative as well. I built my own house and things of that nature. And with that being said, I know how to build a deck as well. He took me over and he showed me, he put a sidewalk down the middle of this deck, wooden deck. And he said, Bart, you need to invent something that makes it a whole lot easier. I did this. I used swimming pool liner and it's going to rot in 3 years. I said, okay. So my wife and I own a plastic injection molding operation, and I went to a plastic show up in Chicago that year, and I seen this little grate is about 12 inches by 12 inches by about 2.5 inches high. You set injection molds on it, which carries a big load, right? I go, it's the aha moment, as some would say.
Okay.
I said, man, if I just go, boop, because I know the basic construction 16 on center, I know what size we got to build. So actually I hired an engineer friend of mine, and he and I went to work designing it. And that's one reason we come up with the honeycomb design. It adds strength to the whole product. Long story short, the plastic show was all ho on it. Then we had to figure out how you make the investment in the tool when you had never had one sale. So I was looking to buy a piece of equipment for the injection molding operation. So I tagged the mold on the top of that because injection molds is very, very expensive tooling. So we did that, went out on that limb, if that proverbial limb, and long story short, here we are. It's been a fun ride. It's a real challenge to educate the consumer contractors that people who cut wood can cut stone, and people who cut stone is allowed to cut wood. And that's been an uphill battle from day one. But it's coming together in a lot of ways that you realize you can. If you're cutting wood, you can cut stone. If you cut stone, you can cut wood. And it's starting to come together. Like I said, it's been 2007, been a lot of years. We have almost 2 million square feet in the marketplace, and we're growing each year. So it's exciting.
Well, very good.
Yeah. That's and the both roles that we have for both of you gentlemen, for you, Bart, you started the company. And Matt, what's your relation to the company? And if you could let everybody know on the podcast side.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been here at Stone Dex for nearly 5 years. So I'm the sales manager here. But I was actually around when Bart invented the product. So I was kind of outside. I was actually dating his daughter, who is now my wife. It's a good family business, right? But, I've been able to see over the past 4 or 5 years now that what used to end up happening, we would go to like manufacturers and big distributors and knock on their door, and they would say, yeah, well, this is a good idea, but you know, get some dealers interested in our product, and you know, we'll talk. And this, you go talk to the dealers, they say, get contractors interested, we'll talk. Contractors, the same thing with homeowners, you know, we're, you know, if you get some consumers asking for this product, yes, we'll see. So over the 16 years, there for a while, I was, you know, kind of seeing it from the outside, of course, but, it kind of went from, this is a good idea to, you know, now it's, this is a plausible thing. And this is actually what I want on my deck. Make it happen. I would say, the stone deck system, because it is such an easy product to install, you know, it's a recycled plastic grate, 16 by 18 by inch and a half thick, designed for 16 inch on centers. It goes down very, very quickly, 4 number 9 deck screws, 1 in each corner. And then now you have your subfloor for any type of stone, paver, tile you want to use. Sized from a thickness of 3/4 inch at minimum and 3 inches thick at a maximum. You know, so it's definitely a good option for both contractors as well as consumers saying, you know, I don't just have to have wood or composites or vinyl flooring surface for my deck. Now I can blend materials. Now I can have something completely different. And for a contractor, the name of the game is really differentiation. You know, there's tons of deck builders out there. There's tons of hardscapers. You know, our product now allows contractors to differentiate themselves and offer both things, you know, and bring the best of both worlds in there. So
it, one other thing, Stone Deck's invested in a third party testing lab here several years ago. I'm guessing 7-8 years ago. So now we're third party certified. I think it's ICC. Is that,
yes.
The ICC is, we're certified. So it meets all residential codes. So any contractor or homeowner now knows that we meet those residential building codes.
That's a huge step there, Bart, in the decking industry, yep, to have that certification behind you. So I was really curious, though. Matt was mentioning the progression of marketing. So you had to get all the way back to the end user, the homeowner, get some buy-in.
Basically, we're pulling it through now, Jim. At the end of the day, we're educating the consumer. Which in the consumer either goes to the dealer or a contractor. So we're pulling it through that way. Our business model is dealers, but we have to pull the consumers through that level.
Absolutely. Yeah. If the consumers aren't buying it, doesn't matter how great the contractors or the dealers are going to feel about it.
Yep.
Amen.
Yeah. No, I mean, and that's a great progression to obviously have, you know, to get that type of feedback. Is it, in the beginning, was that exactly what you were, what was the discovery on that part where you knew that this is something that you love, obviously, and that others would?
Yeah, good question, because just because you have passion doesn't mean the rest of the marketplace is going to have the same passion, right?
Yeah.
But that being said, when we went to the market, we was really after the deck industry, and we found out that the hardscapers accepted us first because why? They can sell more of their hardscapes in a whole different market that they couldn't sell any revenue, because now they can put pavers on an elevated system. Decks, docks, bridge, balcony, okay, gazebos. So they's who's accepted us first, and now the deck people are starting to come on board.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I met Matt and Bart at the Deck Summit in Florida. Quite an experience. For the decking awards ceremony there. That was quite a night, huh, fellas?
It was. Absolutely. It was
and did you guys get to participate in any of the awards that you want to tell us about?
Yeah, we got 3 awards. What, first place and 2 seconds?
Yes.
Is what we got.
So what that means is the contractor won first place and second place, and you guys were the part of the product line that for the decking contractor that night?
Yes. So there were 2 companies that we partnered with for those projects. So Holloway Company, just as a shout out, Holloway Company in the Dulles, Sterling, Virginia area.
Okay.
They've been using our product for quite some time, but we partnered with them. Beautiful elevated deck with travertine pavers on it. So that won a second place award, and they actually have our product featured in their outdoor showroom display area. So we won second place for best display. And then another shout out, Dax Unlimited out of Indiana, I believe. Charles Chad, he used our product actually in a great application, which we're seeing more and more deck builders go that way, where he used our product as a fire pit inlay with porcelain pavers, and it had composite decking around that. So it's like it was a blending of different materials, but we won first place with Dex Unlimited. So, but it was a fantastic award ceremony. It was a fantastic Dex Summit. So we were really excited to be there.
Yeah, well, congratulations on winning the awards with the deck builders out there.
Thank you.
And you guys are members of the North American Deck and Railing Association.
Yeah, for many years.
What do you think about the decking industry as a whole for the camaraderie that's out there, especially with the NADRA community?
It's pretty much second to none. What the Michael Beaudry and the family has done with the decking industry as a whole and pulling them together has truly been inspirational, if you will, watching them pull this industry together, encourage all to participate and all to be involved has been fun to watch, because I've watched Michael grow that industry for a long, long time. So it's really, really encouraging to see all that. And you know what's really neat? They all help one another, and that's a pretty cool to see that camaraderie that way.
Absolutely. I've been a member, I think, 17 years now. And it's definitely an organization that I've watched grow up, and the positive impact they've made in the deck and the railing industry in North America is huge. And now they're starting to have a international influence also. And the safety aspect of the decking and railing industry there, they've brought that to training and highlights and code compliance education also.
Yeah,
you mentioned safety, Jim, and some of the porcelain folks are using our product from a safety point of view, because as you know, porcelain's super strong, but if you drop something, the shock load of porcelain could fail. So what they're doing is they're putting our silica grate underneath it on the pedestals, so if the porcelain should fail, somebody don't fall and get hurt. So That's one of the areas our product's being used for, rooftop applications.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, the story that you guys have behind it too. I mean, obviously it's a family business. How many employees are you guys rolling with out there in Ohio right now?
We're just about six, I think, is what it is.
Six. Yeah. Okay. And right now all the products, are they being distributed internationally, nationally, or just on the East Coast? On
good
that
question.
Side?
We're all over North America, uh-huh. And I think we're in 50 states. And then I also licensed it to New Zealand, Australia, and the Pacific Islands.
Oh, great! That's huge, and that's all been happening within the past, I mean, handful of years, correct?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, something that you guys have been building right now, obviously, is everything made in America right now?
Well, the silica grate, excuse me, the soil grid is made in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, actually, is it made in Canada?
The soil grid, our in-ground products, it's actually made in Germany.
Yeah.
Shipped over here, but everything else is made in North America.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow,
and typically, most of it's made in my shop. Our injection molding operation.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the whole point, is like where I was thinking like of the innovation side of things, where the innovation came out of here in the States. And I think that's something that goes to show the type of industry that we're trying to promote here, the trades, you know, within the decking side, within the material side. And that it's been amazing to just kind of know a little bit more about what it is that you, both of you and the whole family and all the employees have been able to build out and to kind of get the same response. Is this something that you expected, you know, in the beginning, or is it something that you knew that was needed?
Again, I shared the story of the friend of mine's a contractor approach. And once we started, you know, brainstorming and looking at it, you know, when you say stone on a deck, nobody's done it before, you know, I guess you might say a few elite done it. You know, they pour concrete on it and they inlay it, but most people can't afford that. But at the end of the day, the innovation side of it is something that I worked 15 years R&D as a machine in a machine shop, like I said to you earlier. And I welcome any of your listeners on this podcast. If they have questions about polymers and how to make a product and how to invent a product, that's where my heart's at, guys. My passion is to take, you know, Susie Homemaker, if you will, and educate her about the patent process, about the manufacturing process, and the investment process of what it takes to bring a product to market. Just had somebody in my office 2 days ago is invented something, has a patent. It's one of the coolest things I've seen in a long, long time. And so I have a real passion for that. So I welcome anybody that's listened to your podcast to reach out. And I make time for those people trying to help the American dreams come true.
Oh, it's a fantastic thing to hear about, bro.
Yeah, that's an amazing offer. Yeah, exactly. If anybody's like listening to this, and you definitely have to take advantage of that, because it's not every day that you have someone behind you that wants to hear about your ideas, hear more about your ambitions, and be able to have someone like you or have someone that has already done it and has a passion for it. That's awesome, Bart. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. But on the same token, I'll say one more thing in general, and then I'll get off the subject of Bart. But at the end of the day, I grew up with a single mom on welfare, guys. There's no silver spoon here. So I want to encourage your listeners. You don't have to have a silver spoon. Yes, it takes fortitude. Yes, it takes grit. You have to want it. You got to have the passion. There's a lot that goes into it. But you need to know, listeners, that I'm willing to help educate you in the steps you need to take to make things happen.
Yeah, yeah. And trust me, Bart, your story is super important to this show, because that's what we want a lot of our listeners to kind of understand exactly what the story behind Stone Dex is. And when we can build that story behind your company, your product, it only makes it that much more meaningful for anybody that's listening out there. Yeah. So if you could just help us give a little bit more background, like the type of ambition that you had. I know that you had the ambition behind the building things and innovation. I'm sure you probably have a bunch of stories right now, but what's one that kind of like pushed you over that edge? You said, you know, this is something I don't want to work for someone else. I want to do things on my own.
Well, I'm not sure we got enough time in the podcast, but briefly, I'm not real comfortable talking about Bart. But at the end of the day, just for the good of the whole, I started washing dishes when I was like 13 years old, you know, in the back of a restaurant. And, I went to use food stamps first time in my life. And for some reason in my bloodstream, I did it one time that I can remember in my life. I said, Mom, I'll go get 3 jobs versus using that food stamp. I can't tell you why I felt that way. Nothing wrong with it. I'm all about hand ups. I don't do well with handouts, but I'm all about hand ups in this world. Mm-hmm. That's what America is. We all help one another, right? But I do have a problem with the handout system that's running ravage. But at the end of the day, I internally, I couldn't do the food stamp thing. So I used to drive a 1-ton dump when I was in high school. I used to haul dump trash and cardboard, name it. I probably done it. Mm-hmm. I used to put roofs on when I was in high school. You know, I've remodeled houses when I was in high school. And so I've done a few different things over the years. Used to work on cranes with a guy as a helper type thing to get started. And then I was fortunate enough, I got my first job out of high school in the Babcock Wilcox Research and Development. It's a nuclear power fossil industry, and started out maintenance, went into the machine shop in 6 months, and then X amount of years, 10, 12 years, I was running the shop. And I went to college 12 years at night. I always say I was a slow learner. It took me 12 years to get my business management degree. But that being said, we're thankful for the opportunity that we've had the last few years. Mm-hmm. And again, I encourage the listeners, there's always hope out here, guys. We just got to find the hurdle. Sometimes you go through them, sometimes you go around them. but you just got to figure out how you get to the other side. And I encourage all to stay focused on how to get on the other side.
Yeah. Those are words like that beyond wisdom. That's like a blueprint to, you know, look about life. And especially, like you said, the American dream, that's what a lot of people are shooting for and that they want to strive for. And I mean, it's a lot of experience, a lot of jobs that you had gone through and different, you know, whether it's training, like you said, it wasn't all handouts. It was a lot of hand ups. And I can imagine that's exactly what you do for a lot of these contractors out there, providing training for the products that you have. Maybe Matt, you can probably talk on a little bit more about what type of training programs you provide these contractors for being able to give the clients their best experience on this.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have some pretty thorough how to install videos on YouTube. They're all on our website. We put those together just so these contractors have a visual so they can see and understand some of the challenges, some of the tips and techniques to have the most efficient and successful installations with our product. On our website, we have a contractor training course and quiz. So that goes through the entire process of installation, all of our recommendations. And we also have an architectural AIA approved course. It's on our website as well, but it's also held on architectural record. And you can get continuing education credits through taking that course. But we have plenty of resources. But beyond that, you know, we're always here in the office. And we have our cell phones. So if any contractors or any professionals have any questions, they call us, you know, and we're all for building that relationship and helping those contractors, you know, make the best of the situation, the most efficient installations and successful projects. So
that's great. Yeah, that helps out tremendously. It just shows that there's so much that goes into the process of obviously the making of the product, but also the education side.
The training programs that you guys do and the decking contractors that are doing the installs with all the decks and the products that you guys are putting out, how does that relate to, say, a person out of high school getting into the decking industry? Is this an easy point to jump in and learn before carpentry, or do you need to be a carpenter first to learn your installation process?
And that's a great question. Thank you for asking that. I feel like, you know, one of the keys to using our product is, you know, your deck framing needs to be built to local code. So having a basic understanding of, you know, carpentry and building a deck frame, following your code, we have also have deck framing design tables that people can go through to. You know, it basically discusses, okay, if you're using a 3/4 inch paver up to a 3 inch paver, this is what your framing needs to be. But for those just getting into it, you know, we've seen a lot of contractors that will sub out to a carpenter to build the frame. And then they take it back where installing our product and laying pavers, and that kind of gets their feet wet with the whole process. Again, the product is very easy to install, so it's a good opportunity for younger people to get into the trades, into the deck building and hardscaping worlds, you know, and in the meantime they're building experience out in the field, you know, so there's a lot of different options there for it. But our product is so easy to install. Again, it's a great opportunity for young people to get there. Feet wet into the industry.
If I may say it another way, you know, we got, like I said, nearly 2 million square feet in the marketplace. If there was installation issues, we'd heard of them by now. Yeah. You know, so the reality is it's been tried and true is what I want you to know.
Good.
And I don't need to tell you, some people build the deck framing correctly, some people don't, but they've still been able to use our system to make it all work. And we can help. Sometimes we have to hand carry them through some of that. And that's what's nice about the system. The Silka grade itself is super, super strong. We literally test that in the injection molding shop We do statistical process controlling on it. We put equivalent to 1,000 pounds per square foot, and we test that. Okay. So if you don't know it, the commercial code, 100 pounds per square foot. So we put equivalent to 1,000 pounds per square foot to make sure the grate is not going to fail with 1,000 pounds per square foot. So that's how strong the grate system is. What that should lead you to is in our thought process is, therefore, the structure of the deck becomes very important, because if your deck structure is not strong enough to carry the code requirements, we have an issue on it. Yeah. So you need to understand, Danny, to your question, you need to understand how to do basic carpentry to carry the loads that you're putting on.
Yeah, so
go ahead, Jim.
The deck design, it's going to have a 40-pound live load, and you guys are putting a little bit of live load on that with our dead load on that with the stone decking, and then the live load gets compounded on top of that. So
those are very good points, and I almost didn't invent this product, guys, because I didn't think you could carry the load per code. But when you spread the load of a paver out in a wide area, it doesn't add that much from a per square foot point of view.
Correct.
Because you know, you think about adding stone on a deck, that thing's massively weight. Well, when you're doing a 20 by 20, it is that weight, you know. But when you go per square foot, and now that you're using 2-centimeter portion on the most part or travertine, then most people are not putting the 60-millimeter pavers anymore. But at the end of the day, it's lighter now, Jim, so therefore it's less of a concern.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you give us a perspective on what 2 million linear or square feet means? What's the average size deck project that you would sell to?
400 square feet is an average size we use in all our numbers. It's what it seems like it's worked out.
400 square feet.
Commercial rooftops is larger projects, but residential, which we focus on in most of our years, the average is 400 square feet.
That's a lot of decks that you guys have out there then. A lot of decks. From that perspective, that calculator's zinging away right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, this is great. I mean, it's exciting. You know, it's not a new product anymore. It's out there. A lot of people know about it. And obviously it speaks for itself, like you mentioned. Millions of square feet that are out there. You have awards that have been awarded for installers and being a part of projects that just are super amazing. What's the future look like for stone decks?
We're going up every day. Sales is going up, and we're excited about that process. And at the end of the day, we're out here just helping people, you know, make their dreams come true. And that's our goal and our mission is those who want to do it themselves will help you. You professional contractors will help you make your dreams come true. We're all out here as one big family trying to help everybody, you know, make it happen here in America.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to interacting with you guys again at the next DEX Summit here coming up about 11 months from now. hopefully in that amount of time, you guys are going to knock out quite a few projects. That'll get you some exercise running up on stage, accepting the awards.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of fun. We get new pictures in regularly on what people are doing with the product. It's fun watching the different designs that's coming. People are starting to inlay stone and things of that nature.
Okay.
They're starting to connect dots. Hey, I can do more than just lay them in a French pattern or this type of thing or that. So they're starting to get a little more creative now with the stone on decks.
So that's fantastic to be able to see those pictures of stuff that are coming in, what your product's out there doing for homeowners and commercial people. Awesome. So any last recommendations for young adults getting into the construction trades or how they would be interested in working with the stone decks particularly?
Well, I'll speak to it, and then Matt can speak to it from his perspective as well. I will tell you, with the stone deck systems, you'll be able to create revenue streams unique to most people in your marketplace. And also the margins will be greater because you're in an upscale market. And with that being a greater opportunity, that gives you resources to help build your business more efficiently in a timely fashion and grow your business as well. So the stone deck system does afford those prudent marketing contractors and prudent contractors how to increase their margins and how that they can provide more service in their marketplace.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No.
All right.
So Matt said I did. Matt said I did okay.
Yeah, Matt said stamp of approval on that last bit. Awesome.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. And like we mentioned, there's so many different projects that your materials can be used in. What's the best way anybody can reach out, learn more about StoneDex and find you online, or if they have any questions about your product, what's the best way to reach out?
330-821-1585 is the phone number. We're here, you know, 8 to 5 every day. And then, of course, the website, which is www.stonedex.com. That's spelled StoneDex.com. StoneDex.com is the two best ways to get a hold of us. And we welcome phone calls. You know, phones are not that antiquated. We'll be glad to talk to people.
Yes.
And we welcome the phone calls as well. But at the end of the day, we have both to service those who, whichever avenue they wish to take advantage of. But we welcome the phone calls and look forward to talking to those to help them through.
Absolutely. And also, just to piggyback on that, we're also on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. So, you know, we're constantly posting new project photos. We're getting in from contractors. So if you're interested, definitely take a look at our social media as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. And that's exactly what we'll do for everybody that's listening in and watching. Cause we'll have this on YouTube. We'll have it on all platforms for podcast. You can find us on the Instagram as well. We'll be putting on snippets of the show for that we have you guys on. So we really do appreciate you guys, both of you coming on.
Yeah, what a pleasure talking to you guys again.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us, John.
Yeah, absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, this was the Trades Podcast, sitting down with Bart and Matt right here with StoneDex. Thanks again.
Have a great day.
The Trades Podcast, I want to tell you about Sage IT Systems. I have personally met with Judy, who gave me the behind-the-scenes tour of how Sage IT Systems works and helps out their clients. They've been helping my construction company for a couple years with all the challenges of COVID, taking staff remote, server backup, everything a business needs from an IT company, Sage IT Systems has been doing for us. The support they're giving to the Trades Podcast is fantastic. I highly recommend Sage IT. If you need a review of your IT systems, please reach out to Judy. Her cell phone, 619-743-5870, or you can go to sage-it.com. That's sage-it.com. Thank you so much for your support for the Trades Podcast.